saying a lot, considering how near they came to getting me killed. But I'm getting ahead of myself. I really ought to start at the beginning, which means I should say a little about where I'm from. If you're from around here, then you know that in New York, where you come from is everything. It defines your place in the world, your past, present, even your future, if you let it. Why, just your name and address tell a stranger pretty much everything he cares to know about you. Not just where you live, but how. What parish you belong to, how much money you've got, where your people came from before they were Americans. He can even make a fair guess as to what you do for a living. Your name and address label you a certain type of New Yorker, a creature with particular habits and distinctive plumage, not unlike a species of bird. Black-capped chickadee, northern mockingbird, Italian fruit vendor, Chinese laundryman. So when I say that my name is Rose Gallagher of 55 Mott Street, well, that's a whole story right there, and a common one at that. The story of an Irish girl from Five Points. What do those words conjure in your head? A photograph of some fair-haired, reedy thing leaning out of a tenement window to hang washing on the line while drunks and ragpickers loiter in the alley below? Well, you wouldn't be far from the mark. But there's more to me than that slip of a girl, just as there's more to Five Points than the vice and violence you read about in the papers. Oh, it's a wretched enough corner of the world, to be sure. But it's home. And it's where I learned that if you don't take care of you and yours, there's nobody else will do it for you. Which brings me back to the day Mr. Thomas Wiltshire disappeared, and everything I knew in the world went spinning down the drain. Funny, isn't it, how the days that change your life forever start out like any other? I don't remember much about that morning, except that it was a Sunday and my day off, so I took my mother to church. I'd have spent the afternoon scrubbing Mam's floors and putting dinner on the stove, though I've no recollection of it. My first clear memory of the day is hanging off a strap on the 6th Avenue L, trying to hold my copy of Harper's Weekly steady while the train rattled and swayed beneath me. The L, if you haven't had the pleasure, has all the lumbering grace of a three-legged bull, which makes reading the fine print of Harper's a bit of a trick, especially when it's coming on to dark outside. Luckily, I wasn't trying to read the print. I was too busy poring over the illustration on the cover. It featured Mother Earth seated on her throne at the heart of the world, attended by her children as she greeted the new year. She looked like a Roman goddess, serene and beautiful, smiling benevolently down at the cherubic 1886. I'd never seen anything so fantastical, so thoroughly exotic. Children of the world clustered around her, African and Indian and celestial, skins of lions and tigers beneath her sandaled feet, the volcano looming in the background, the waterfall plunging majestically over a cliff. What wondrous places had the artist travelled that he could capture images like these in such sumptuous detail? I felt a familiar pang of longing, and for a moment I imagined myself standing in a steaming jungle, brushing up against leaves the size of an elephant's ear, while I listened to birds shriek and insects sing, the roar of a waterfall in the distance. Maybe it was longer than a moment, come to think of it, because the next thing I remember it was full dark and I was making my way down the steps of the 58th Street station in the rain. I must have made a pitiful sight hurrying along the sidewalk with my bonnet pulled low and my precious paper tucked under my arm, because the nighthawk seized on me the moment I turned onto Fifth Avenue, the clip-clop of hooves and calls of "Cab, miss?" trailing me down the block. I burst through the servant's door at number 726 with my usual grace, stumbling over the umbrella someone had left open to dry in the entryway. I couldn't wait to show Clara the illustration on the cover of Harper's, sure she would appreciate it as much as I did. But as I made my way down the hall, I heard a frightful clamor of pots and pans coming from the kitchen, and I drew up short. Warily, I peered around the doorframe. "Clara?" My greeting was met with a crash of the oven door and a string of language as doesn't bear repeating, the gist of which was this: Clara was having a bad day. "People's starving in this city. Starving, but that's no bother, just fine, I'll toss away 3 hours worth of cooking." I braved a single step into the kitchen. "What's happened?" She whirled on me,